How do you do? The man in this story set his heart on being rich and even achieved his goal only to lose it all, proving this old proverb, riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle. He learned the truth too late, but he gained something far more valuable when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Is Sam's car about ready?
Good to go.
Oh no! The machine's on fire! Larry's on fire! We gotta put out the fire!
Grab that seat cover! Help me smother it! Hurry!
Oh man, Larry's on fire! I can't put out the flame!
Is he gonna burn up in spite of all we do?
From the crossroads of America, this is Unshackled, true life stories, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. They can find a park bench if it's warm, or curl up in a public place if it's not, but it's still true that a homeless man hath not where to lay his head. In Chicago, there's Pacific Garden Mission, the oldest continuously operating rescue mission in the country. Thanks to caring friends who send financial and material gifts, the old lighthouse shelters more than 800 men, women, and children each day, providing food, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep. Even medical and dental treatment are given in the mission clinic. But the mission goal is greater than keeping them alive one more day. They want to keep them alive for eternity, so pastors and counselors tell them about the way, the truth, and the life that leads out of darkness into light. That same message of hope goes out to the world in 10 languages through this program. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3062 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Mrs. Durfee?
How is he, Doctor?
We've done all we can. He's still alive, but he's burned from his waist to the top of his head. His mouth, nose, and eyes are swollen almost completely shut. His lungs are seared, so we gave him an oxygen tent.
Can I see him?
Briefly, but be prepared. He's in a coma. He doesn't look the same, and he may not live through the night.
The man in our story was only 42 years old when he was badly burned in his auto shop, an event that changed his life. This is the true testimony of Lawrence Durfee from the classic files of Unshackled.
My disagreeable character was formed on a poor farm in Michigan. My father believed a man should grit his teeth and tackle things without reservation, and sometimes without training. He treated me, his only son, that way, too.
Now, boy, when I let go of that mare's head and whack her across the backside, you ride her, you hear? Keep control and hold on tight. Hang on, boy. Don't let go.
That's how I learned to ride and to face life. People said my father was a hard man, but his was a hard life, so he had to be tough. Twice he was cheated by men who claimed to be religious leaders, and he never forgot. I never did either because his bitterness soaked into me.
I trusted that man, and he took advantage of me. Now you listen to me, son. There's only one man in all the world that really cares what happens to you, and that's you, yourself. If you don't look after yourself, no one else will. It's a short life, and you'll be dead a long time. Get out and get yours while the getting's good, but get it honestly. You hear?
Ours was not a religious home. None of us ever went near a church, except to attend funerals. There we heard words of comfort, but also words of doom concerning the accounts of heaven and hell. We had no Bible in the home, and no one ever prayed. Even Christmas went by almost unnoticed. As a boy, I was a fair student in school. I did well in history, but poorly in math. At 15, I was big and strong for my age, weighing 196 pounds, so I made a choice.
If you want to quit school, it's okay by me. I can use your help around here.
Well, Dad, I want to get off the farm. I mean, I got to get a job that pays good money.
I can't say I blame you. It's hard scrabble around here. I can't pay you none.
Well, I thought I'd try the auto plant in Lansing.
How are you going to get there?
Hitchhike. Soon as I land me a job, I'll rent a room somewhere.
Just remember, son, always live honest. Don't let me hear of you cheating anyone.
Oh, you won't, Dad. I'm going to work hard and get rich. You'll see. Someday, I'm going to have a ton of money.
I got a job in an auto factory, but I left it to work as a bricklayer because it paid more. That was my habit from then on. Money became all I cared about. My God. At 22, I took a job as a mechanic for an oil company. I was 24 when I met Wilma. Before long, I asked her to marry me, and she accepted.
Why didn't you finish the picnic lunch, Larry? Didn't you like the food?
Oh, yeah, I liked it. Sometimes I have trouble with my stomach, though. Big accident a few years ago.
What happened?
Oh, I was leading a team of horses that were pulling a wagon load of coal. 3.5 tons of it. A truck in front of us stopped suddenly, and, well, the wagon tongue jammed into my stomach. Almost killed me.
Oh my.
but I'm tough, Wilma. But I thought I was gonna die.
I'm glad you didn't.
Me too. But I still have problems now and then.
What do you think happens when you die, Larry?
Nothing. It's the end. My dad always said, hey, you're dead a long time. But I've heard preachers say differently. We'll see after we die. So you might as well drink while you can.
Do you want to be married in church?
Oh, nah. I got no use for church.
I have to admit, I've only been to one a couple of times.
Well, you find a preacher and see if he'll marry us someplace else.
Okay.
Wilma, I want you to know that I intend to be rich someday. I'm going to have $50,000 by the time I'm 50. What she saw in me, I don't know. I was a profane and arrogant man, driven by the need to constantly prove myself and always afraid I wouldn't measure up. We were married in May, and life went according to plan until a year later.
Larry, what in the world is eating you now?
What do you think? When I get my hands on that lousy thief, I'm going to break his neck.
What thief?
Oh, the one that stole my car.
The car's gone? How can that be?
Oh, how should I know? It isn't just the car, Wilma. All my tools are in it, too. Everything.
I never recovered my car or the tools, which set me back in my drive for riches and added to my anger at the world. Life was just unfair. In July came another blow.
I'm glad you're home, honey. Supper's ready.
I'm not hungry.
I fixed you a nice meal, Larry. Come on, before it gets cold.
Oh, come on, shut up.
What's wrong?
You don't want to know.
Yes, I do.
Well, I lost my job.
What?
You heard me. I was fired. Can you believe it? Fired!
Oh, Larry, not now.
Well, you know a good time to be fired, Wilma?
But the baby's due any day now.
Well, what do you want me to do, huh? I mean, tell the company that they can't let me go because my wife's gonna have a baby?
Now it was Lawrence Durfee against the world, for sure. Our first son, Donald, was born 9 days later. Jobs were impossible to find because of the economy. By then, my father had opened a farm equipment business in Mount Pleasant, so I went to see him.
So, you came to borrow some money, is that it, Larry?
Look, Dad, I'm not asking for a handout. I just want a loan so I can go into business.
Doing what?
Car repairs. I'm a good mechanic, you know that.
Yeah, but companies are going broke all over the country.
People have to make their old cars last longer. That's where I come in.
Maybe. How much you need?
$175.
All right, it's yours. I can rent you part of my building for your shop.
From that day on, I worked 7 days a week, as many as 16 hours a day. My strength was tremendous. One day, a truck driver pulled in, and on his truck, he had a small box about 3 feet long. I didn't know what it contained.
Hey, Larry, got a hand truck around?
Yeah, out back. What you need it for?
Gotta unload a box.
What, that little thing? Never mind the hand truck. I'll help you unload it.
Not this box, you won't.
Why not?
Too heavy.
Oh, come on, you're kidding, right?
It don't look like much, but it weighs a ton.
Ah, I can carry it myself.
12 bottles of beer says you can't even lift it.
Make it 24 bottles.
I could make it 124 bottles, and you still couldn't lift that box.
24?
You're on.
Now watch.
Don't do it, Larry. You hurt yourself.
Shut up!
I don't believe it.
That box was full of metal, mostly lead. When we put it on a platform scale, it weighed 519 pounds, and my ego puffed up. But the long hours of work and worries about money made my bad disposition worse. I'd always had a vile temper that alcohol triggered, and I became violent at home.
That you, Larry?
Yeah, what are you expecting, somebody else?
What kept you so late?
I work, remember? You don't even know what work is. What are you doing now?
Putting the kids to bed. I'll be down in a minute.
Oh, what's the matter with you anyway? You're too lazy to wash the dishes after supper.
What?
Why should I come home and see a pile of dirty dishes on a kitchen table? Answer me that, will you?
Don't shout, Larry. I'll be down in a minute.
Ah, don't bother. I'll take care of your dirty dishes myself.
Larry.
I think Wilma would have left me, but by then we had three children. I was so filled with bitterness that it scared me to go into my children's bedroom at night. I was afraid of a sudden murderous rage would somehow urge me to kill them. I actually trembled in fear of my own nature.
In a moment, we'll learn where all this led. Listeners from Alaska to Zanzibar write emails telling us they listen to Unshackled online at our website, unshackled.org. We hope you take advantage of the internet to listen to our latest production. But our website also has an archive collection of stories dating back to 2003, many in Spanish, so you can listen at your convenience. If you move to another state or country, you can check out the nearest radio station that carries these dramas by clicking on our radio log. Our website has many other features to explore, a history, and pictures of the Unshackled production team. You can submit a prayer request or even your testimony for consideration as an Unshackled drama. Even learn about events and friends in our new building. So come, visit us soon, unshackled.org, or write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Taunting my mind was that $50,000 I wanted to have before age 50. A goal I had to reach, or be a complete failure in my own eyes. My resolve overshadowed everything. No one dared talk to me about the sorry condition of my soul. But even so, reminders of sermons on heaven and the doom of hell pricked my conscience. One day, a timid preacher named Hiram brought his car in for repairs. I never liked him. Hey, what are you, a canary or something?
Whistling bother you, Larry?
Well, it sure don't soothe my nerves, okay? What's the name of that so-called tune, anyway?
Why?
Well, it's terrible, that's why.
It's called Someday God's Gonna Set the World on Fire.
Ah, hooey.
Guess you don't believe that, huh?
No way. Gonna set the world on fire, huh?
The Bible says so. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Tell me something, Hiram. Where are you going to be when that happens?
In heaven.
Oh, well, it seems to me that they're not very particular about who gets in there.
Not because of my own merits, Larry. I'll be there on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I don't believe it.
The Bible says there's a heaven and a hell.
Hey, listen, you get back in that piece of junk and drive it on out of here right now.
What?
You heard me. Get your car fixed somewhere else.
His words filled my mind, but finally I forgot all about him. A couple of years later, I was working in my shop on a car whose engine was running. Because it was winter, the doors were closed, and I fell unconscious from carbon monoxide poisoning. A customer found me and pulled me outside. He performed CPR on me and saved my life. I buried my fears and proceeded with trying to achieve my goal.
Maybe you shouldn't work alone at night, Larry.
Now, Wilma, how else am I going to reach my goal, huh? You tell me.
It's not worth it, Larry.
$50,000! Come on! My bookkeeper says I'm almost there, and that's with $50,000 invested in new equipment.
Life is more than money.
Ain't nothing more important than money, honey.
Aren't you going to finish your dinner?
Ah, no. My stomach's bothering me. Hey, where's my sleeping pills?
Right beside the bed.
Well, I'm going to turn in. I'm beat. I wanted to enlist in the military, fight in the war, and be a hero. I dreamed of leading a charge. But with four children and my physical condition, well, that would just never happen. I was 42 years old when my bookkeeper told me I was only $2,000 from my goal. Instead of rejoicing, I felt even more despondent. Money had not made me happy. A month later, I was running the oil-lubricated honing machine when a spark from the electric motor ignited the oil vapor. The explosion saturated me with burning oil from my waist to the top of my head. With every breath, flames seared my lungs. I didn't know what was happening, but my workers told me later that flames were shooting 4 feet over my head. They grabbed me and smothered the flames in a seat cover. I'll never forget the ride to the hospital. The pain was so intense, I wanted to jump off into the nothingness that I thought would be eternity. At the hospital, they gave me blood transfusions, and I lay in the oxygen tent pondering the futility of wealth. All the money in the world wouldn't buy me one breath without pain. I began losing consciousness.
My poor husband.
As I drifted into darkness, all the people I had hurt, all the mean things I had done passed before me. Then I envisioned in the distance an approaching lake filled with fire, flickering like an alcohol lamp. I thought it must be the fire of hell that preachers talked about. I screamed and begged God for mercy.
Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me.
They said I was in a coma for 3 days.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary.
A minister's wife was brought to the room across from me, and for several days she sang hymns. She was there just for observation, I learned later, but those hymns caressed my soul and called me to God in ways I can't understand. For 16 days I lay in darkness, unable to see. Then they removed the bandages.
Open your eyes slowly, Larry. Can you see?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Rest them as much as possible. Don't overdo it. The bandages stay on your hands.
Can I get you anything, Larry?
Bible.
Bubble?
Bible.
A Bible? Yes, I think I saw one here.
There.
Oh, yes, on the dresser.
Read.
You want me to just open it anywhere and start reading?
Yes.
This is the Gospel of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Oh, God.
Honey, what's wrong? I'll be right back. Doctor?
Yes, Mrs. Durfee?
He's crying. I've never seen him cry before, and he asked me to read the Bible.
That's not unusual.
It is for Larry. He always hated religion. I think the accident left him unbalanced.
The flesh was burned off my hands in chunks, and I thought I'd never be able to use them again. After 6 weeks, they sent me home, and I asked Wilma to buy me a Bible. She said money was tight because of the bills and lack of income. I assured her the insurance would cover the bills, so she bought me a Bible. I couldn't work, but I could read.
Hello? Yes, just a minute. It's for you, Larry.
Hello? Oh, are you sure? Oh, that's a blow. But I guess we'll manage. Thanks for calling.
What is it, Larry?
That was the insurance man. The insurance company won't cover the hospital or doctor bills.
Oh, no. What'll we do, Larry?
I don't know, Wilma. I can't take much more. Where's the Bible?
Here.
Listen to this, honey. I just opened it to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I would never look normal again, but God changed me. That was much more important. I was so scarred by that fire that I couldn't turn my head in the usual way. I had to turn my whole body. I had to apply talcum powder to my body because the lightest clothing hurt my skin. A month after I came home, a friend asked me to visit his church and give my testimony. I was so scared that once again I ran to the Bible. I opened it randomly and read Jeremiah chapter 1. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." So I went to the church and gave my testimony of how the Lord had rescued my life and my soul through the tragedy. I had never set foot in church until that day. I was 42 years old. Mount Pleasant is a small town, and everyone knew what a vile person I had been, and the change in me was apparent to all. I continued sharing my testimony and growing in the Lord as I read the Bible each day. In the fall, I went back to work in my shop, but it wasn't easy.
How did it go?
Okay, I guess. I'm slow, but thank God I can use my hands again.
Yes, thank God.
One of the men accidentally burned out the air compressor.
Oh, dear. You'll have to buy a new one, then.
I'm afraid so. He asked me why I didn't kill him.
What did you say?
Well, I told him not to feel bad about it.
You have really changed, Larry.
I keep my Bible with me, Wilma. So I retreated to it. This time, Psalm 20. It said, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." It puzzled me for a while. Then I remembered the air compressor had 7.5 horsepower.
That's interesting. Do we have enough money to replace it?
No. In fact, the bookkeeper advised me to file for bankruptcy.
Really?
Yeah. Last spring, I had almost $50,000, Wilma, and I was despondent. Now, I got nothing. Nothing but peace. That fall, seeing the change in me, my wife and oldest son professed faith in Christ at the church we were attending. I learned more about God's Word, to read it consistently instead of just opening it randomly. One day, a man came into my shop, a man I hadn't liked in the past because he was a Christian.
Hello, Larry. I heard about the accident. I'm glad you survived.
It brought me to the Lord, Hiram.
Really?
Yes. I can't really explain it all, but God used it to convince me of an eternal heaven and hell. I wanted to go to heaven.
Praise God.
As soon as they took the bandages off my face, I saw a Bible and asked my wife to read it to me. She just happened to open it to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, how Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God.
That was the Lord.
Well, I can't tell you how much it meant to have a Bible right there.
Larry, I put that Bible there.
You did?
Yes. I'm part of a ministry that places Bibles in hospitals and hotels.
Oh, God really has opened my eyes, Hiram. Before the fire, all I cared about was money. Now all I care about is telling others about Jesus. He set me free. I continued to witness and give my testimony in churches as I grew in the Lord. Many people were saved, including the two employees who had rescued me from the fire. 8 years later, my father professed faith in Christ. That same year, I joined the ministry that helped me so much, distributing Bibles so that others may have new life.
The Bible promises in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There is no special prayer, listening friend. Just speak to God from your heart. Tell him that you are a sinner who needs to be saved, and that you believe Jesus died for your sins on the cross. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." If you need help in making this crucial decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3062. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. We look forward to hearing from you. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Discouraged? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.